Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
This podcast is made possible thanks to Black Ballads membership community. To find out how to join our community of professionally ambitious, socially conscious, and culturally curious Black women, visit the link in our show notes. Listening to another episode of Black Ballad Presents The Survival Guide. This time around, we're talking about something that can often prove quite controversial, but it really shouldn't be. Back in April 2020, we published an article called Why More Black Women Should Prepare Themselves to Become Stepmums. In it, Priscilla Appiening argues that from evil stepmother tropes to ideas around BMs, or baby mums, and baby mama drama, the idea of being in a blended family is not desirable for most women, but this type of family unit is on the rise. There is also the argument that if you're dating men in their 30s and older, if them having kids already is a no-go, then you are significantly narrowing your dating pool, not to mention the fact that many of us have kids of our own anyway. But still, stats and logic aside, creating a blended family, either with your own biological children or someone else's, is never usually a plan A. As Priscilla, mum to three girls, a baby boy, and also stepmum to two boys, explains.
We are sold the dream of, you know, the perfect nuclear family. I think there was even a sitcom called like 2.5 children or something like that, where, you know, you get married, you know, in this order, you get married, you have your kids, maybe two, maybe three at a stretch, but not beyond that. You know, you have a house with a fence and a garden and a car, and you live that life. So obviously that's the kind of life that I was looking for. And then, you know, when you throw the fact that I'm a Christian into it as well, like, there's an order of, you know, things. And then when you throw in the fact that I'm Ghanaian as well, there's like a cultural order of things as well. So yeah, being in a blended family, although I was raised in a single parent home and had two stepmoms, I never envisioned myself being a single mom or having a blended family, no.
Even though Priscilla technically had a stepmother or two, that role was never really acknowledged in her family, and so she never realised that she grew up in a blended family type situation until she got much older.
But I knew that it was a negative, well, I felt like it was negative because my mum was hostile towards my dad and his partner. There was no relationship between my mum and my dad's wife. It was very much, you're at your dad's house, do your thing there, you're at home, do your thing here. And there was kind of no interlinking. So yeah, I don't know. I didn't have the wisdom to know that I was like in a set family to then kind of think what it would feel like or be like growing up. I just knew that the kind of family dynamic that I was in was a negative one, if I'm going to be honest. For my mum, first and foremost, she was just like, I should never date a man with kids because, you know, they will go back and sleep with the mother of their children. So if you don't want to be cheated on, you're not going to want to be dating anyone that has children. That was like one of the things on her list of, you know, the type of man I should not be bringing home to meet her. And then growing up, like, I think from kind of college age, so 16 and upwards, you know, the older boys, the boys that were like 18, 19, they were dads. They were dads. And it was normal, actually. It wasn't as normal as today, where you just meet someone and you ask, hey, do you have kids? Because you just kind of expect it. It wasn't that normal, but it was normal enough that if a guy was like, oh yeah, I've got a child, you wouldn't be like, oh, you're so young. It's just like, okay, you've got a child. And every single time I would meet a friend or a potential partner who had a child, the BM was crazy. Of course, the BM was crazy. Like, the guy would be like, oh yeah, my BM will be up any girl that I look at, I talk to, you know, whether it was to pump their ego or to paint them, their ex, in a bad light, or because she was actually crazy. That would usually be the story. Or you would actually meet those BMs that, you know, now as an adult realize that they were fighting for their rights to freedom as a young mother as well, you know, for the kind of same freedoms that a young dad would have, for maintenance, support, to gain respect back from the community, because, you know, God forbid you're from ends and you're a single mum. Like, you must be like a tramp or a hoe or problematic in some kind of way. So yeah, it was all negative.
That overall negativity was something that Priscilla also felt when she became a young mum, parenting her young daughter solo. But that still didn't stop her from wanting the nuclear family dream for herself and her daughter.
For me, regardless of how I came to be a mother in the first place, I still wanted that nuclear family. I still wanted to be a wife. I still wanted a husband, and I wanted siblings, and for that to be from one man. So my whole thing was, once I did my walk of shame of being a single mum, because I felt the shame, I felt like people, you know, were talking about me, family, friends, church members, the whole lot. Once I got over my walk of shame, I was open to dating, but I think I just wanted to make sure that I got it right the next time. So I was very cautious. So I think when my daughter was, I think, about one or two, that's when I started dating. Whereas before that, I was very concentrating on graduating uni, getting a job, getting a car, just stabilizing her life as she grew, and not complicating my life with like men. And so when I felt like I was settled, I started dating, but I never let them be around my daughter. And I think for me, after becoming a single mum, my tolerance for like guys was very small, like very, very small. Whereas I was even saying to my husband the other day, he was saying, do you feel like you were as controlling when you were younger in relationships as you are now? And I'm like, oh no, I wasn't. I was a pushover. Like, I talk nonsense quite easily. For what reason? You know, that's another podcast episode, but I was a pushover. But then when I gave birth to my daughter, I was very assertive. I knew what I wanted. I put all my cards on the table whenever I met a guy. I was one of those, you know, mums that, before you even get to, oh, where you from? Like, how old are you? I'm like, I'm a mum. This is how old she is. This is what I'm on. If this is not what you're on, just leave it at that. And yeah, in the end, I guess I came to meet my husband, and finding out that he was a dad, it was a bit off-putting. But at the same time, I think it was more off-putting because I didn't want anyone to think that I was dating him because he was a dad and I was a mum. That I was kind of settling, like, what kind of man who didn't have baggage, quote-unquote, would want a woman that had baggage. But after I got over that, I laid my cards on the table. It so happened that he was down. He was just like, okay, well, you know, I'm not ready for marriage, but if you're ready for marriage, I guess I can be ready for marriage. And then, yeah, literally within the space of a year, you know, we dated, became official, got engaged and got married, and then came back from honeymoon with another baby in my belly.
From our dating episode last season, I know that making time for romance as a mom can be logistically a nightmare. But Priscilla explained how she made space for it.
I mean, I was quite blessed in a sense that the guys that I met, I didn't meet them out of nowhere. They were like, you know, friends or, you know, people that I knew from like mutual friends and stuff like that. They weren't just like people that I met online or anything like that. So I was blessed in that respect. And then when it came to like actually linking up to like see what we could see, I did really basic things like, do you want to meet me at the cafe? It's like, yeah, let's go and have like a breakfast and chill. And my daughter would be at nursery. Or, you know, God bless my mum. I wouldn't tell her why I'm dropping the baby off, but I'll be like, oh, mum, I need some time. Do you want to chill with your grandbaby? Yes, I do. Then it's like, okay, my daughter's with my mum. Do you want to go out to eat? It just like really casual dropping it in there. And I honestly feel like when a guy is, you know, wanting to explore something with you, he will make time for you, you know, pretty much at the drop of the hat. So it wasn't like, oh, you know, in 2 weeks time should we do this, because I can't plan that far ahead because anything can happen. But it's like, I'm a mum, I'll let you know when I'm free. If you're free, then we'll do something. And that's literally how it went. I know that is not like a solid bulletproof way of kind of dating, but I do feel like when this is a good sign to look out for. If a guy is interested in you, he will make a way to see you like fairly soon. When you say, this is the free time that I have, do you want it? For me, I don't believe that you should introduce your children while you're still getting to know like the basics of that person. So if you feel like you've gotten to a friendship stage with this person where it's not just butterflies and, oh, he's so buff, and like when you've passed that stage and you feel like he's your actual friend to the point where you've burnt a pot of stew and you call him, oh my gosh, I've burnt my stew, you know, that kind of friendship level, then you can start to think about introducing your child as a friend. So say to your child, like, hey child, this is mommy's friend, and you introduce the friend by name, and then have him be around more often, like when you're going to the park, not at home, but when you're going to like the park, it's like, oh yeah, mommy's friend's coming, like let's play, or like going bowling, you know, things like that. Make it social, make it easy breezy, like make it like this is just, you know, a new person, a part of mommy's friendship circle, just how you would with a girlfriend, literally. That's it. And then when you feel like, okay, yep, yeah, it's me and you, I want to be with you, you want to be with me, like, yeah, we're gonna go somewhere, I feel like you need to establish like where's the end destination. Like, are we trying to be married, or are we trying to just, you know, date and see how things go? Again, me personally, I feel like if you're just seeing how things go, your child doesn't need to know that this is your romantic partner, because things could go to nowhere, and then your child's gonna be asking, hey, Where's that guy that I grew attached to? But if you've decided that, yeah, the end goal is marriage, like I'm committed to this season to get to marriage, and that includes like couples counseling, that includes you like meeting family, and that includes to committing to not ending because we're now arguing, then you can go ahead and, you know, let your child know that this is mommy's romantic partner. But obviously you need to gauge how based on the child's age.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
When Priscilla got married, she knew she was bringing two families together. There was her and her daughter, and her husband and his sons, and she thought she was ready for it. She had a plan.
I was just very naive, basically. I didn't have concerns. I had, this is what it's going to look like. I had a vision. The vision was trash, okay? And unfortunately for me, when I got married, I realized how trash my vision was. So I was, you know, when I met his sons, when I met my husband's sons, I was like, okay, they're nice to me. They seem to like my daughter. My daughter seems to like them. This is all good. We can build upon this. That's fine. I'm not nervous about this aspect. But I didn't actually know what being a stepmom would entail. I just thought I would continue to be Auntie Priscilla. And it would be casual. I didn't ask what expectations. I'll tell you this. Between me and my husband, it wasn't a whirlwind because I feel like he made his mistakes. I made my mistakes. We knew what we were looking for in a partner, and we knew, you know, what our ideals for family life and like our individual aspirations and goals were to be in the future. And we knew what matched up and what differed and how we're going to navigate that, right? What we didn't talk about is his expectations of me as a stepmom to his kids, my expectations of him as a stepdad to my daughter. Although I could see what kind of dad he was becoming, because obviously my daughter's always with me, so I could see how their relationship was growing, but we didn't have a sit-down conversation of which we should have had, and what it would look like if we go to have more kids, because he knew that I wanted at least another kid. I don't know how I ended up giving birth to four, but here we are. So then when we got married, everything spun in his head because, you know, I had to consider obviously the women that he had children with, and I didn't consider their thoughts and feelings in this whole blended family setup. And when they made it known, it was all negative. It was all, whoa, are we not going to be the Brady Bunch? Are we not going to blend? And so I had to learn on the job, and that was a big mistake, and it was a hard, it was the hardest way to start my journey as a stepmom, and that's why I can actually say, A, the first year of marriage was trash, because I was learning how to be a wife and how to have a husband and to share parenting with a man in my house that I'm living with now. And he was learning how to be a husband, you know, and be a dad and all the rest of it, and live with a woman. And so all this kind of fairy tale beauty, oh, you know, first year to forever with you, like on Instagram and stuff, I think that's all trash, because I feel like the first year of marriage is like the hardest year. And then to add the kids and trying to blend as a step family, it was just so terribly hard. So I got it wrong, is basically what I'm trying to say.
Priscilla admits that she got it wrong, but she's learned a lot of lessons along the way.
As a single mum, or, you know, a co-parenting mum, you want to actually have a conversation with your ex, regardless of whether you have like a kind of hostile relationship or not. You need to have a conversation via email, text message, voice note, whatever, and say, when we get into relationships, what of it? You know, what's going to happen with our child? What's it going to look like? What are we comfortable with? What are we not comfortable with? This is not to say that, you know, if someone says, I'm not comfortable with you introducing our child to a partner that you've only been with for 3 months, you have to follow that. But we're talking about managing expectations here. To have it blow up in your face as and when it's happening is just not good for anybody. It's going to strike up emotions that need not be stricken up, right? So we want to manage our expectations by talking about what's it going to look like, what are we okay with, what are we not okay with, and then, you know, essentially crossing that bridge when you come to it. For a stepmom, it's establishing what type of involvement does she want from the jump off. And I know that, you know, it's not always easy to try and work that out because you don't necessarily know what is required of you. But to have some kind of idea, as if when you become pregnant, you have an idea of what kind of mum you want to be. We can say that, you know, we want to be that mum that does no screen time. I make all the, like, the weaning solids. I'm not going to buy anything from the supermarket. We can have our kind of idea of what kind of mum we want to be. Of course, when we become that mum, we rejig it. That such is life, right? But for a stepmom, we have to have an idea, like, I want to be a hands-on stepmom. I don't want to be a hands-on stepmom. I, you know, want to be a support to my partner, or, you know, I want to be a significant other parent to my stepchildren. And you then kind of have that idea of what kind of stepmom you want to be. And then when you, you know, consider yourself a real stepmom, whether that's before marriage, when you're engaged, after you get married, then you can go ahead and step into that role with a bit of understanding. And then it's asking your partner, what do you expect from me? What do I expect from you? Am I going to meet the birth mum? What is the birth mum like? But also understanding that your partner's kind of idea around his ex is going to be biased, and it may not tell a true story of the ex. So it's working out, are you open to meeting the ex, and what kind of context? And also, the birth mum, co-parenting mum, single mum, giving grace to the ex's new partner, and the ex's new partner giving grace to the birth mum, because it's not easy for anyone. And you know, for both women to give grace to the man, because you're going to be learning on the job. There's no real way to prepare for getting into a blended family and, you know, working with adults that you might not even want to work with. And I'm not going to say for the sake of the child, for the sake of your own sanity, you just have to be able and willing to communicate. And if you don't feel like you can, you've got to get help, whether that means getting a support group for single mums, co-parenting mums, stepmums, dads, getting around other dads, getting a coach, getting a therapist, just getting help to get that communication going and have it be healthy.
The nature of all adult relationships is that they're complicated in one way or another. That's a given. But what about the kids? They're little people too, with their own preferences, desires, and ideas about what their family should look like.
Some kids actually put their foot down and say, well, I don't care if she's got a new partner. I'm not going to talk to her. I'm not going to look at her. I just don't care. And then there are some kids that are just like, okay, who do you want me to meet? Like, all right, I'll see if I like her, kind of thing, and just go with the flow. You just have to see what type of child, you know, you have. And unfortunately, you cannot gauge how well your child's going to do in a blended family until you get into that situation, right? And so I think it's about understanding how you feel about your new partner, or about maybe your ex leaving the home and setting up home somewhere else. It's about understanding how you feel and deciding that you are okay to feel that, but also be very aware that your child doesn't have to feel the same way. So, you know, you could be happy. Oh, I found a new partner. My old partner was trash. Like, I'm happy now, you know, and then try and, you know, encourage your child to be happy about that situation when they're not. You shouldn't do that. You should let that child feel whatever that child is trying to feel. Obviously, if that child is acting out and, like, you know, throwing cans of milk at your new partner, that's not going to really fly. But it's about talking constantly to your child, saying, how do you feel about this? And, you know, if your child is to say, I don't feel okay about this, I feel uncomfortable about this, is about working out how to support your child while still being loved up and happy in your relationship, right? And then, you know, for the blended family, it's about not forcing a kind of step mum or step parent and step child relationship and letting that flow naturally, and also understanding that actually it's okay if a step parent and a step child are not, like, bonded and treating each other as family. Essentially, that step parent is there because they fell in love with the child's parent. Okay, and we have to know that the child will always have their mum and dad and don't necessarily need a step parent or a bonus parent, as people say. But should a child embrace having another parent? Absolutely, that's amazing. Nurture that, you know, and be happy in that. But yeah, ultimately, what I'm trying to say is feel how you feel as an adult. Don't project how you feel as an adult onto the child or expect that child to feel the same way, but actually acknowledge the child's feelings and find ways to work with the child, not to bring them up to the way you feel, but to bring them to a space where they're comfortable with the family dynamics, and also being, you know, consistent in your messaging of this is how it is now. How do I make you comfortable in this space that we are in now? I'm not a believer of living your whole life for your children. Because your children don't like something, then you drop it out. I'm not a believer of that. But then obviously there's loads of scenarios in me saying that that can derive from that. But just generally, it's about teaching the child we're in the step family now. How can I make it okay for you?
There can be a pressure, either internally or externally, for everyone involved to get with the program, play nice, and be one big happy family. But that's not always realistic. Not to say that things won't get there, but new family dynamics take time for everyone to adjust to and to find a balance that they themselves are happy with. And kids, being kids, often just don't care about keeping up appearances or proving to outsiders that their blended family can be drama-free.
And, you know, there are some children actually that don't want siblings. Like, I've been an only child for X amount of years. Actually, I want to stay an only child, so I don't care if my stepmom has had babies. I don't care. And that can be hurtful for the dad or for a mum that, wow, you know, I've just given birth to your siblings. Like, do you not care? Some kids don't care. And I feel like it's very important to know that even in a nuclear family, some kids don't care. Some kids can be an only child and their biological mum and dad have another child and give, you know, this only child a whole full sibling by blood. And the child still doesn't care. Children are going to be children. They're going to feel how they feel. Work with the child on the child's level. And also, a fact from research is that it takes around 7 years for a blended family to actually blend, right? And even me saying blended family, I've tried really hard to stop saying blended family as much as I do, because it's quite triggering to some people, because some people don't want to blend. Some single mums don't want to blend with the ex and their, you know, new spouse or partner. A step family is a step family that doesn't necessarily mean they're all united as one happy family. It can be very disjointed and still actually work. I just feel like any kind of preconceptions that anyone has about blended families, they should throw that in the bin. Follow me on Instagram and just look for real stories. You know, I know a lot of stepmoms, they've got like woe is me stories out there, but there are some happily blended families there. And just don't turn up your nose to potentially dating someone with children. It's not all doom and gloom. Yes, it's hard, but I'm happy. It works.
I'm sure you'll appreciate Priscilla's straight talk as much as I do. If you did enjoy this episode, please rate and review us in Apple Podcasts, share this episode with someone who might need it, and let us know what you think on social media. Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Black Bella Presents The Survival Guide. This has been a Black Bella production, and the theme tune is by Darrell Banks.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.